Hey, give it up for them one more time, would you? Would you?
Wow. Wow.
Unreal. Well, I tell you, about a year and 3-4 months ago, I had the privilege of meeting TJ Joy, which you guys know him. And me and him just had this instant connection. I mean, friendship. It was really cool. I just think the world of him. And he kept telling me whenever I was invited to this thing that he's like, man, you're gonna love my family. You're gonna love my family. And I want to tell you, I do. I mean, you guys are incredible and wow. And I'm gonna tell you, church, what an incredible privilege it is to have the Joy family in leadership at this church. Why don't you take a moment and give it up for them? Awesome. So thankful. And I want to encourage you as a church to continue to follow under their leadership, continue to encourage them, continue to lift them up in your prayers, because many times, I tell our leaders all the time, pray for me, pray for my family, pray for us. I need that. And a lot of times we take our leaders, we take our people for granted. And so I always encourage the churches that I am, please pray for your leadership, pray for them. Also the staff, you guys are just cool. You really are. And it's been really great to meet you guys, as well. And church, thank you. Y'all are, wow. I mean, to think of a church this size doing an awakening like this, I want to tell you, there's not many churches your size that will do this and actually show up to. And, you guys, I mean, seriously, it's just been absolutely amazing. So thank you so very much. It's a privilege. Pastor, thank you so much for allowing me to be here. You could have chosen hundreds of other guys. And so I count it as an honor, to have been with you this week. One of the bad things about doing something like this on my end is I get to kind of meet you guys. And then a few days later, I'm gone. And so I always love keeping up with you. So if you would like to follow me on Twitter, it's just at EricFuller34. So you can follow me on there. If you're on Instagram, just do Eric_Fuller34. And if you have no idea what I said, then I can give you my mailing address, okay? And we can go from there. What a privilege it is. I'm praying tonight that God will do something very, very special with every single one of us before we walk out of here this evening. Let's pray. Father, we really need you. And Lord, this message that's going to be brought tonight, Lord, the power of hell, the demons, Satan himself, is extremely upset right now. The forces of hell will do anything to distract and to keep this message off of the hearts of your people. But Father, I pray that you would bind the forces of hell from this place. And I pray that you would radically save individuals tonight and you would set your church on fire for you. May our lives count. I pray that we will not waste the seconds and the minutes and the hours, the days, the weeks, the months, the years that you have so graciously given us. May we redeem the time. We don't have much time left. As Ecclesiastes says, our lives are just like a vapor and they're gone. May we make it count. In Jesus' name, amen. This evening, if you have walked in here, if maybe this is your first time, maybe this is your first week, maybe you've been coming here for years and years and years and years. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to plead with you. I want to beg you to surrender your life to Him. Listen to me. If you walk out of here and you die and spend an eternity in hell, I promise you what has been said this week and what's being said right now will flash before your eyes and your ears. And you will recall this very moment that I am pleading with you and I'm begging you that if you don't know Jesus, turn to Him. You're not going to find hope anywhere else. You're not going to find satisfaction anywhere else. You're not going to find forgiveness, joy, peace, and love anywhere else. Jesus is your answer. Nothing else is coming. Nothing else is capable. Nothing else has the authority. Jesus Christ is the only single solitary way any man, woman, boy, or girl will ever see the presence of glory. It is only through Jesus Christ. It's not politically correct. It's a lawsuit waiting to happen. It is audacious. It is bold. It is in your face, but it is the truth. Jesus is the only single solitary way that you will ever receive forgiveness, will ever experience peace, will ever have a purpose and plan and mission for your life here, and will be the only way you can ever go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Regardless of your past, regardless of your presence, regardless of what's happened to you, regardless of what you have done, regardless of your rebellion, regardless of your unbelief and your doubts and your fears and your tremblings, listen, Jesus really does love you. And He wants you. He doesn't need you. He wants you to turn to Him. You can trust in Christ. Some people believe that not all people can turn to Him. I believe the Bible clearly teaches that all can come to know Him if you will repent and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I pray with all my heart that you will not leave this place until you do. The second thing that we've got to talk about this evening is for us as a church, for us as the body of Christ, for you specifically as a local body, right here in Tuscaloosa. Let's just play numbers for a second. Let's just say 1,000. I know y'all run a little more than that. Let's just say 1,000. If you reach just one person apiece between now in the end of the year, you know where I'm going with this? 2,000 people at this church. If you just reach one person apiece between now and the end of the year, 2,000 people. So I've got to ask you something. Do you believe God answers prayer? Do you believe God wants all to be saved? Do you believe we're the agents by which He accomplishes the Great Commission? Then what's going to stop you? What's going to stop? Listen, if we believe that God answers prayer, we believe that God wants all people to be saved, we believe that we are the agents by which God uses to accomplish and to fulfill the Great Commission of seeing people come to know Christ, then don't you think that if all of us got on our face before God tonight and we prayed for that one person that doesn't know Jesus, and we prayed and we prayed and we asked God to give us the power and the words and to take away our fear, don't you believe that if all of us went out and shared the gospel with at least one person, that there would be someone saved within the next few weeks? What's keeping us? You see, if we really believe that, what is keeping this church from absolutely exploding with the gospel of Christ? Well, I may have the answer. I don't know. But let's check out in Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Turn there with me. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. You see, as I've said earlier, our actions always reveal what we really believe. Men, if we say we love our wives, our actions are going to tell whether that's true or not true. Students, if you say you respect your parents, you love your parents according to scriptures, then you will obey them. You will do what they tell you to do. You will respect them. Or you really don't respect them if you don't obey them. If we say something with our words, but then our actions are in contradiction to what our words state, our actions always reveal what we really believe. And so if we say a hearty amen to the fact that God does answer our prayers and that God wants all people to be saved, and we believe we are the agents by which God utilizes to see that commission fulfilled, then if our actions do not carry that out, then we really don't believe that God answers prayer. We really don't believe God wants all to be saved. And we really don't believe that we are the agents by whom God has chosen to fulfill His great commission. So our actions always reveal. With that in mind, Luke chapter 15, verse 1. I want us to just stay seated this evening. And I want us to look deeply into the passage of Scripture. So I want you, every single person in this room, to really concentrate. I want you to get close to your Bibles, and I want you to really concentrate on this verse. Here we go. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. Him is speaking of Jesus Christ. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Okay, let's talk for a second. So we have Jesus who is sitting around with the tax collectors and the sinners of the day. And the Pharisees and the scribes, or AKA religious people, church people, started grumbling and complaining. "Well, I can't believe he's sitting with her. I can't believe he's talking to him. Well, why would he be associating with that person? Well, why is he doing that? They don't look like him. They don't talk like him. They don't behave like he does. Why is he doing this?" Because that's the people he came to restore and to redeem. You know the problem with most churches in America today? We all look alike. That was a good place to say amen. We all look alike. We all talk the same. We all dress the same. That's unacceptable. Amen? It's unacceptable. Let me tell you why. I met this guy one time. He was at seminary, and this is what he told me. I went up to him, and I said, "Hey, man, what is your calling?" He said, this is what he told me. I'll never forget it. He said, "I don't know, but all I do know is I just love people who are different than I am." I was like, "Man, that is awesome." I was like, "That is a good answer." You see, the problem is we as the church, we've stopped going to the people who desperately need Jesus. We've stopped going to those people who are, you know who Jesus would be around? Jesus would go and be around the alcoholics. Now, don't get too theological on me here and say, "Well, you know, if you struggle with alcohol and all that stuff, I'm not saying go sit down in a bar." That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is Jesus would reach out to those people who don't know him. That's why he came. He came, as Luke tells us, that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. You see, Jesus would wake up every single morning being intentional about that person that God had for him that day. Do we replicate that? Do we wake up every morning with a mission and say, "Okay, God, who do you have for me today? Who in Tuscaloosa do you have for me today to share this message of Jesus with? I don't care their background. I don't care what they look like or what they say or whatever they do. Listen, I just want to reach people for for Jesus. You see, that's what the church is supposed to be. But you know what many of us do? We're like the Pharisees and the scribes. We complain. We complain. Well, they're not like us. Well, they're a little too loud. Well, they curse. Well, you know why they curse? And you know why they do a lot of those things they do? Is because they don't know Jesus. Amen? They don't know Jesus. And so watch this. The Lord could not stand their attitude. Jesus couldn't stand their attitude. And so you know what he does? He tells them three stories. Now, it's very important that you understand this. It's very important that we tie this together, because we're going to talk about three stories tonight. But usually when you've heard this, and over in general, we talk about the prodigal son. A lot of times we just read and talk about the prodigal son. But it's not until we understand the other two stories. It's not until we understand the other two stories then we can understand the prodigal son. So what I want you to do is I want you to stay with me, because at the end of this message, we're going to tie it all together, and I pray that it will change your life. But you got to stay with me this evening. So Jesus is going to give three stories in rebuttal or in response to these Pharisees, to these church people, to these religious people, because they didn't like him hanging around people that were lost. So this is what he says. Let's pick up in verse 3. So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. So first of all, we have a lost sheep. Okay, number one, story one, a lost sheep. And so this man, the shepherd, has 100 sheep. One is lost. One runs away. Does he just say, oh, forget it? It's no big deal. It's just one sheep. I've got 99, so I'm not going to worry about it. No. What does he do? He goes and he searches and he searches and he searches until he finds that one sheep. Why would he do that? I'm glad you asked. Because this, he knew the condition of that sheep without his shepherd. He understood that that sheep would die if he was apart from his master, apart from his owner, apart from his shepherd. And so out of love, he went and he found this sheep. The second reason is because the sheep was worth something to the shepherd. That sheep was of materialistic possession, materialistic worth to that shepherd. That's what he did. Now, let's bring that into 21st century terms. Now, well, I don't know. We're in Alabama, so maybe you do have a bunch of sheep running around. I don't know. Anybody got any sheep? Anybody? There's got to be one. There's always one. No? Okay. Well, let's bring that in here. How about, let's say tonight, you walked outside to get into your car, and you walk over, and you look everywhere, and you find out, oh, my car's not here. Now think about that. Put yourself in that bit. You walk outside here and you're like, where's my car? You turn to your honey and you're like, honey, where'd you park the car? Well, I parked it right there. Well, no, you didn't. It's not here. Where's your car? No, I parked it right here. And you come to find out someone stole your car. Now, in that situation, if someone, teenagers, for y'all got the car, okay, well, it's not your car. It's your parents' car. But you walk out and you see that your car is not there. How many of you, if you found out you didn't have a car tonight, someone stole it, how many of you would be like, it's no big deal. No big deal. Hey, can somebody give me a ride home? Somebody stole my car. No, you know what you're going to be doing? Oh, my goodness. Oh, what happened here? I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. Please. Somebody stole my car. Right? You're going to be absolutely freaking out, right? You're going to be like, where is my car? Wow, I got kind of high on that one. Okay, another thing. What about your what about your cell phone? Oh, listen to that. Oh, who cares about the car? If it's a cell phone, ooh. Man, we are messed up, man. We are messed up. Okay, all of you, I should have started with the phone. So tonight, you leave the church, you get halfway to your home, and you want to check out your phone and everything, and so you go like this. And all of you know it. You go like this, and you know what your stomach does? Where's my phone? I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to go bananas. You're going to be like, I got to go back up to the car. Mom, you got to take me to the church. You got to pay me. You're going to be going. I mean, you're just absolutely going to just be on all. Please, where is my phone? Right? Okay. Some of you are like, we get the point. Okay. You're going to be going nuts. Why? Because your phone means something to you. Those stairs are, oh my God. It was those ribs. Oh my goodness, sorry. And so you're going to be, what are you going to do? You're going to search until you find your car. You're going to tell the police officer, you find my car. Right? You're going to search until you find that cell phone. Why? Because it's a value to you. Because you love it. Can I just say this, a little side note? Most of us spend more time with this device than we ever will with Jesus. You know what some of us need to do? We need to take this device and we need to just chunk it against the wall. That's just a side note. We care for our possessions. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 8. He doesn't stop there. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now we go from materialistic possessions to now we go to cold, hard cash. How many of y'all like cash? Look at all you spiritual people. Oh, I don't like cash. No, I don't like it. Anyway, how many of y'all go home tonight and let's just say you had a $100 bill? How many of y'all like a $100 bill? All right, I ain't giving it to you. But anyway, let's say you had a $100 bill and all of a sudden you reached down in your pocket and it wasn't there. How many of you be like, it's no big deal, just 100? Anybody? Would you do that? Anybody? Go ahead. Really? Okay, I want to see you after the service. All right, sounds good. See him after there. All right? No. We would do it. What would we do? We would start. Listen, I have torn our apartment and our house now upside down if I've lost a 20. Right? Anybody with me? Right? Why? Because that money, you work hard for that money. You like that money. And so you're going to search until you find the money. Why? Because it's a value to you. It's a value to you. Right? Okay. Verse 11. Now, I'm going to read this entire story that you all know. And it's kind of lengthy. And so you have a choice right now. You can just kind of tune me out. You can be like, man, he's reading a lot. Or you can stay focused and really be able to get the whole point that we're about to make here in just a few minutes. I highly recommend you hang with me while I read this story. Because it's going to be kind of cool. At least I think it will be. Verse 11. We had the lost sheep. We had the lost coin. Now we have the lost son. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, listen to that. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you.'" Remember what we talked about last night. Okay, when you sin against someone, you actually sin against God first and then that person. Okay, this is just other biblical justification for that passage last night. So let's continue. "I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants." Verse 20. "And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Verse 22. "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." Verse 25. "Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.'" Verse 28. "But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you. I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" Okay, I'm just going to go right to it. There's something missing in the last story. I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but a few years ago, when I was reading through this passage, it hit me like a ton of bricks. When it came to the materialistic possession of a sheep, the shepherd searched until he found it. When it came to the money that the woman had, she searched until she found it. But when it came to the lost son, no one searched for the lost son. No one searched for the lost son. No one searched until they found the lost son. There's only two things in this world that's going to last forever: God's word and people. The sheep is going to die. The money is going to dissolve away. But the soul is going to last forever. We spend so much of our time and energy and resources loving and cherishing and embracing and loving and devouring our possessions and our money. We will search and we will have a conniption fit if there something happens to those things. But when it comes to people, no one's looking for people.
May that change with your family today. May that change in your life today. May that change in your school today. No one searched for this lost son. No one searched for the lost son. No one searched until they found that lost boy. No one did. And the same is true today. Many of us Southern Baptists, known as Southern Baptists, we love to talk about evangelism. But if, as Ed Stetzer said, only a few of us actually do it. Hey, does that grip anybody's heart tonight but mine? Does that grip your heart tonight? I mean, think about it. Let's just get real. Let's just get real technical right now. 160,000 people in Tuscaloosa, approximately. The university. And many of us spend more time on this. On this. We care more about this device than we do a person. I mean, this thing is already outdated. Nobody wants this version of this phone anymore. It's done, passed away. We cherish this more than a human, than a person, a soul. I mean, we will search with this device until we find it. That very moment when we realize we've lost it, we just start panicking inside for a device. God help us. God change our hearts. God renew us. Send an awakening. Do something in my heart where I care more about people than a device. Dear God, rain down on us. Dear God, do something in us. Dear God, change us. We need you, Father. Our priorities are all out of whack, Lord. Our priorities are not biblical. They're not becoming of you. God, give us a hunger for people. What would this Tuscaloosa look like if we search for people like we do for a lost phone? They would say, man, those people at Valley View, they're messed up, man. Something wrong with them. Wouldn't it be awesome for me to go down to McDonald's or Starbucks one day here in Tuscaloosa and start sharing the gospel with the clerks and with the people, the way I almost said stewardess that's in the air, the people, what? The waiter, and I start sharing the gospel and they just stop and they say, wait a minute, I don't know you, but you go to Valley View Baptist Church, don't you? Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool? Golly, I'm telling you, God is getting a hold of my heart in this message. People here need you. They need your message. So, okay. Then the question arises tonight. The question arises, no one looked for the son. No one searched for the son until he found it. So, the question is, who should have searched for the lost son? That's the question. The shepherd searched for the lost sheep. The woman searched for the lost coin. But who should have searched for the lost son? And I think we have the answer. It was the older brother. The older brother should have searched for his brother until he found him. And you say, why? Let me tell you why. Because every day, listen, every day, that brother saw his daddy walk out on the front porch and look down a long, dusty road, weeping and longing and hurting and desiring for his son to come home. Every day, that brother saw his daddy in agony, in pain, and want, and desire for that boy.
And out of the sheer love and the respect for his daddy, he should have gone out. And as the Old Testament says, he should have gone out and fetched his older brother. His older brother, and brought him home. He should have searched until he found the older brother, because he had so much love and respect for his dad. And church, I want you to know that your Heavenly Father desires for all to come to know Christ. Jesus wept over the condition of Jerusalem. He's weeping over the condition of our schools today. He's weeping over the condition of the lostness of our families today. He's weeping over the condition, the lostness of Tuscaloosa today. He's weeping over the lostness of our nation and around the world. He's burdened. He's hurting. He's weeping over the lostness of them. And out of the sheer love and respect and devotion that we have for our Heavenly Father, we've got to go. We've got to search until we find every last woman, man, boy, and girl when they come to know Jesus. We've got to search. When's the last time you have gotten on your face before God and prayed for someone so much that you didn't get up until you know that God has heard and answered your prayer? You see, we don't pray in order to get things we want. We pray in order to get what God wants. And I believe God wants to save Tuscaloosa. I really believe that, church. I really believe it. And he wants to use you as his instruments to accomplish that great and wonderful task. You see, prayer isn't for God. Don't be shocked about that. God doesn't need your prayers. He's all self-sufficient by himself. Prayer's not for God. Prayer's for us. Prayer's for you. Prayer's for me. We need prayer. But let me tell you, prayer isn't about us. It's about God. And it's time we start praying evangelistic prayers. It's time that we as a church develop a mindset that said, you know what, the people in our school, the people in our college, they may die and go to hell, but they're going to go over my prayers. They're not going to go because I didn't tell them. Their blood's not going to be on my hands. That person I sit to next in my class, they may go to hell, but they're not going to go to hell because I didn't tell them. The people that work in all these restaurants over here, the people that's in this town and around the vicinity of this church, they may all go to hell, but they're not going to go because this church didn't pray for them, because this church didn't go knock on their door. They're not going to go to hell because we didn't do anything. If they go to hell, they're going to jump over our prayers. They're going to jump over our dead bodies, because we're going to do everything we can to see this town, God send a great revival to transform this town. You see, that's when it's going to happen. That's when it's going to happen. So, can I just tell you, every single person in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, listen to me. I want you to know that I have been praying, and many people in this church have been praying for you this week. Listen to me. You may choose to reject Jesus and go to hell. You can do that. Listen to me. It won't be because you think we don't love you. This church loves you. And we've been praying for you. And we want you to know him. And in just in a minute, listen to me. In just in a minute, I'm going to pray a prayer. And as soon as you hear me say amen to this prayer, listen to me. If you don't know for sure where you'll spend eternity tonight, you're to walk out of here and die tonight. And you say, Eric, I don't know where I would spend my eternity. Listen. As soon as you hear me say amen, high school student, college student, adult, listen to me. As soon as you hear me say amen, you would say, Eric, I don't know where I'd spend my eternity. I want you to make a beeline up here. I want you to run up here. And I want you to tell one of these encouragers that's going to be standing down here, I want you to simply say, I need Jesus. God loves you. You were created in His image. You are special. He wants you. So quit rejecting Him. Listen, your unbelief will never cause God to cease to exist. He's real and He loves you. You move immediately. As soon as I say amen, you step out. You're in the middle, people will get out of your way. You come. If you have to run, you run. You have to crawl, you crawl. You get here and tell someone, I need Jesus. And the second part of this response time. Hey, listen. Unless you say that I'm a liar tonight. Listen to me. Unless you say, I am a liar tonight. We have a lot of work to do. I've opened up God's Word tonight. And we have taken a powerful, powerful look into the Scriptures. The church people, that's who Jesus was addressing. The religious people, they were hindering the work of God. And He says to them, He says to those church people, you're just like the shepherd that will go and spend all night long looking for a materialistic possession. It will raise your blood pressure. It will cause you to have sleepless nights. You're just like the woman. She lost a coin. She would do everything. She's so passionate about the money. She would do anything to get that money. And you're just like that older brother who is all worried about himself and him not getting the party. And someone else getting something better rather than focusing on searching for that lost son. So church, who has God placed on your heart? The staff of this church can't reach Tuscaloosa alone, but every one of you reaching one person, you'll turn this church and community and school upside down for the gospel. Who's your one? Who's that one person you're going to go fetch? Are you going to be a searcher? I had a best friend on my basketball team, Dylan. He called me up the day before church camp and begged and pleaded with me to go, and I was not nice to him. He kept on. He kept on. And I went. And God changed me. He didn't have to do it. But He loved me enough. So who's going to be a Dylan tonight? Who's going to be a Dylan? Who's going to be a searcher? Who's not going to care about our reputation anymore? And we're going to get flat on our face and say, oh dear God, we're going to reach Tuscaloosa. It is time for the power of God to fall on this church. It is time for this church to absolutely have so many people here. Because they're around us. We're not lacking people. We're lacking co-laborers. We're lacking those who will go search. We're lacking searchers. We're not lacking people. We're not lacking the heart. Listen, we're lacking searchers. Who will be your one? So right now, I'm about to pray. And if you don't know Christ, you come immediately. Don't you dare wait. And if you do know Christ, I'm going to invite you to come. And absolutely call the power of God down on this place. So that we can win Tuscaloosa to Jesus. So we can win our school to Jesus. So we can win our families to Jesus. So that we can beg God to make us be searchers. We're going to be Dylans tonight. So here we go. Here we go. As soon as I say amen, don't wait. Don't wait. You respond tonight. You respond quickly. Don't look around to what anybody else is doing. You've heard the word. May this not be us. We're not going to be the Pharisees. We're not going to be the scribes. We're not going to be those type of church people. Not us. Not anymore. Dear God in heaven, God, I pray right now, Father, Lord, you have just touched my heart tonight. God, you are stirring in my heart, Father. God, stir in the hearts of these people. God, this precious church, Lord. Lord, this is just the beginning, God. Lord, the best days are yet to come. Lord, the greatest days are ahead. Father, when there's greatest persecution, when times are tough, Lord, that's when the gospel has the most effectiveness, Lord. So use this church, Father. Let there be Dylan's tonight. Let this be a life-changing time tonight, Father. Let us care more about people than our stuff. Father, help us to search. Help us to walk out of here tonight and tell and lead and win this city to Jesus. God, help us. We can't do it alone. You said you would be with us, God, and you will never break a promise. We can trust you. So, Father, come down. Rain down upon us, Lord. Grab hearts tonight. Change souls. Change destinies tonight, Father. God, I pray for that person who's lost and on their way to hell. Help them in just in a moment to step up and come down here and say, I need Jesus. Help every single person who are believers, Lord. Change us. Give us a heart for lost people. Rain down on us in the powerful name. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Send an awakening, God. Send an awakening. Use us. Send us, God. Send us, Father. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.